As we began the new year together, Pastor Caleb and I had decided that it would be helpful for us to be reminded of who we are as disciples of Jesus Christ here at First UMC, and to review again what it is that is our vision and what is it that we claim as our mission as we continue to follow Jesus Christ. Vision simply is our goal. What is our goal as United Methodists here in Muncie? And very simply, our goal is the goal of the denomination, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That sounds pretty simple until you start to unpack what is a disciple. A disciple literally is one who would follow Christ, one who would strive each and every day to be more Christ-like, someone who would be committed to staying in love with God. So that's what our goal is, that we would become disciples, and as we become disciples, we would encourage others to join us on our faith journey. The mission is, how do we get there? How do we reach that goal? What are the steps we need to take? What are the tools we need to make that happen? And here at First UMC, we have decided that what we need to fulfill that goal is that we need to continue to celebrate new life in Jesus Christ, to continue to celebrate, and also that we would be committed to growing deeper, and then we would aspire to reach wider. Celebrating new life in Jesus Christ, growing deeper, and reaching wider. There's a lot in those three simple words: celebrate, grow, give. Four simple words: celebrate, grow, give, and reach. There's many things that we do here, and there's many things that you could be invited to be a part of. Last week, Pastor Caleb spent time, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Caleb spent time talking about what does it mean to celebrate new life in Jesus Christ. And what it means is to come together with joy, to worship, to be in fellowship, to just be in the presence of God and to be praising God and to rejoice. Part of that, as well as coming together, is practicing or being a part of our sacraments, Holy Communion and baptism, where we recognize that God's grace is present, and we celebrate that. There are opportunities of great joy. There's other ways that we gather in fellowship here that we can rejoice that God is in our midst. For we are reminded that wherever two or three are gathered, Christ is there through the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't matter if we're 2 or 50 or 200, we invite Christ to be present with us, and we celebrate that. Where we celebrate all that God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. As faithful followers of Jesus Christ, we also are called to grow deeper, And that's what I have the opportunity to focus on today. How do we grow deeper? And what does it mean to grow deeper? I think it means, how do you stay in love with God? And as you struggle with that, or as you're challenged by that, the second piece of that is, how each and every day can you live a life that's more like Christ? Staying in love with God and becoming more and more like Christ. That's how you grow deeper. The early church, Pastor Caleb shared this, but in Acts 2, we have a story of the apostolic church, where the disciples, after Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit, they brought people together in community. They truly came together to celebrate the new life that they had in the resurrected Christ. And not only did they celebrate, not only did they worship and have fellowship, we hear as well that they listened and learned from the apostles' teaching, and they were devoted to prayer. Acts 2 says it this way: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They came together so that they could celebrate, but also so they could continue to grow deeper. Celebration by itself might not allow us that opportunity to find our place in love with God. There needs to be more. You might come together and celebrate and then go home and forget what the joy was of that moment. But if you're committed to growing deeper, you take that joy from that worship experience, that fellowship, and you allow it to become part of who you are. You remember it. You remember the apostles' teaching. You remember the scripture. You're devoted to your prayers. And you thank God for those opportunities that you've had to celebrate new life in Jesus Christ. In this new year, we're also talking about focusing on the discerning of what is our next faithful step. What do each of us as individuals need to do to stay in love with God, to move closer to God, and to be more Christ-like? Not only what do we have to do as individuals, but what do we as a congregation of people of faith, what's our next faithful step? How will we strive to stay in love with God together? And how will we as community become more Christ-like? How do we do that? The question always is, what is God nudging us to do? How is God nudging us to celebrate new life? And how is God nudging us to continue to grow deeper? When I think about staying in love with God, I think about relationships. What is your relationship like with God? And I think it's helpful for us to put that in terms that we might understand. How do you create a relationship? Where does that begin? Think about people that you have been in relationship maybe for years or a new friendship that you've developed. Think about how did that start? When you first met that person, what did you know about him or her? Probably not too much. There might have been something that you heard about. Someone else might have told you something about that individual, but you really don't know that one. How do you get to know a person? How do you develop that relationship? I think you do it by staying in touch, by communicating, by learning more, by spending time together. And then that gradually is nurtured into something stronger. The same is true for God or for wanting to know Jesus. We hear a lot about Jesus, but do we know ourselves in our heart? Do we know Jesus? We know a lot about God, but do we have that strong relationship with God? Are we in love with God? As that relationship grows, that human relationship, there's the gift of communication. There's the gift of growing deeper and knowing one another on not just a surface level, but a deeper level, which means that you become vulnerable and you take risks and you share more of yourself. You become a better listener. You're eager to learn from one another. Just as that's true for our friendships and our human relationships, that's true with our relationship with God. Our prayer life is the way that we communicate with God. And as we grow more and more in love with God, that prayer life goes from a surface prayer to something much deeper, where we share intimate thoughts and feelings and concerns, where we spend time in quiet and solitude to listen for what God is going to say to us. And as we continue back and forth, that communication skill grows, and it becomes second nature to have that conversation with the one we love. Human relationships do not really compare to our relationship with God, but think for a moment about what would happen if you stopped communicating with your loved one. If you stopped talking to them for weeks and weeks at a time, what would happen to that relationship? It would suffer. But often we ignore God for days and weeks and months at a time. And the wonderful thing about God's grace is God is always there waiting for us to come back. God wants us, God yearns for us to come back and to continue that conversation. We learn more about God when we study his holy word. We communicate with God and we strengthen that relationship when we go to the Lord in prayer. And again, how do you personally stay in love with God? How do you keep connected? What is it that you do that strengthens the relationship that you have with the Lord? You know, sometimes in our faith life, things get a little old. Think about some relationships you've had, and maybe at times those get a little stale too. And what do you need to do? You might need to add something new or bring some new energy into the friendship. The same is very true with our relationship with God. Perhaps your prayer life has become rote. You just repeat some prayer that you memorized and you're done. Or perhaps you're not getting anything out of your Bible reading. It's just kind of become stale. Maybe that means that you're called to something new and something different. Maybe you're called to a place where you join a group so you can have a new energy about studying Scripture. Perhaps you go back to a very simple time of quiet and solitude and reconnect to God. What is it that you do to enhance that relationship so that you strengthen your love of God? Nicodemus knew God, or thought he knew God. He was a Pharisee, he was a leader, he was a teacher of the law. He thought that he had everything right with the Lord until he heard about Jesus, or perhaps even after he had heard Jesus and heard Jesus talk about the love of God and God's kingdom. And so Nicodemus is a searcher. He's a seeker. He wants to know more. He wants to hear more from Jesus. And so in the scripture that Pastor Caleb read, we hear that he went out at night to try to find out more. And Jesus appreciates that he has come to be a learner. He's come for a deeper understanding. He's come because he wants to know God better. He wants to love God more. And Jesus simply says to Nicodemus, then you need to invite the Spirit in. You need to invite the Holy Spirit in so that you have a fresh start, a new beginning. It's not enough just to live by all those Pharisaic laws. It's not enough to be legalistic. It's not enough to do things by rote. You need to let the breath of the Spirit, that wind of the Spirit, come and bring you new life. In the scriptures, many times it says you must be born again. What that simply means is that you need to invite the Holy Spirit in to be a part of your life, and then everything will be new. Everything will be different. Everything will be transformed. And you will begin to grow and grow and grow and find yourself deeply in love with God. Nicodemus's first step was to invite the Spirit in. We're not really sure in this passage when he leaves Jesus what happens, but later on, Nicodemus comes back into our story as a faithful disciple of Jesus. The first step for Nicodemus was to invite the Spirit in. To invite the Spirit in. Perhaps for some of us, that's our first faithful step. To spend some time inviting the Holy Spirit in so that we might have a fresh new beginning with God. The Deuteronomy passage that Candy read for us this morning are the words of Moses. Moses, as you know, received the Ten Commandments. He received some other ordinances and laws. He received all those from God's hand and had shared those with the Israelites. But then at this point, he condenses all that. And he says, "Hear, O Israel, the greatest commandment, what you need to do is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." This is the greatest commandment. And then he goes on to say that you need to keep that at the forefront of your life at all times, to love God, to love God with your best self, with your whole self, and never forget that. Live into that. Teach it to your children. Let your neighbors know it. Love God with all you have and with your best self. Jesus is asked about the greatest commandment, and he shares these words of the Shema as well. And he says, "Hear, pay attention. The greatest commandment is just what Moses gave you, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength," and Jesus adds, "and with your mind." And then he goes on to say, and there's another commandment just as powerful as the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. That first commandment is about growing deeper, about staying in love. And that second commandment is about reaching wider. How do you care for those in your midst? Jesus says the most important thing you ever do is to stay in love with God. To stay in love with God. Growing deeper and deeper in love with God each and every day. John Wesley would ask his followers, "How is it with your soul? How is it with your soul?" And it was a time of reflection. How are things going in your life? I might ask you today, instead of "how is it with your soul," I might say, "How are you staying in love with God? How are you growing deeper in love? What are you doing to enhance that relationship? What are you doing to show God the love that God so much wants from each and every one of us?" The practices that help us to grow deeper are sometimes called spiritual disciplines. And we know those as prayer and worship as sharing in the sacraments, as Bible study. They might also be a practice of coming together in a small group for accountability and encouragement. It might mean fasting or journaling. It might be any practice that gets you in a closer connection with God. And there are many. Yesterday we had a retreat and Pastor Caleb listed 10. 10 ways that we can stay in love with God, that we can enhance that relationship, and we can grow deeper. Richard Foster is probably the classic author of spiritual disciplines. And his book entitled Celebration of Discipline, The Path to Spiritual Growth, he talks about how hard that is for us to practice those spiritual disciplines. And he starts off by saying, "We simply do not know how to go about exploring the inward life. This has not always been true. In the first century and earlier, it was not necessary to give instruction on how to do the disciplines of the spiritual life. The Bible called people to such disciplines as fasting, prayer, worship, and celebration, but gave almost no instruction about how to do them. The reason for this is easy to see. Those disciplines were so frequently practiced and such a part of the general culture that the how-to was common knowledge. Fasting, for example, was so common that no one had to ask what to eat before a fast, or how to break a fast, or how to avoid dizziness while fasting. Everyone already knew. This is not true of our generation. Today, there is an abysmal ignorance of the most simple and practical aspects of nearly all the classic spiritual disciplines. Hence, any book written on the subject must provide practical instruction on precisely how we do the disciplines. One word of caution, however, must be given at the outset. To know the mechanics does not mean that we are practicing the disciplines. The spiritual disciplines are an inward and spiritual reality, and the inner attitude of the heart is far more crucial than the mechanics for coming into the reality of the spiritual life." In other words, spiritual disciplines are not something that we just check off a long list of obligations and say, "I've done that, I've been there." It's about the spiritual disciplines becoming part of who we are, part of our better nature. They're about helping us to grow, to change, and to be transformed. Is your prayer life doing that? Is your reading of Scripture allowing that to happen? Is your time in worship and fellowship changing who you are? Are you allowing the Spirit to help you to grow deeper in all the many aspects that you come before the Lord? This year, what will be your next faithful step to stay in love with God? Amen.